Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
In 2017, Stephen McGowan won his freedom. For the previous 6 years, he had been held as a hostage by Al-Qaeda. He has the dubious distinction of being the longest held captive by the group. Stephen's book is called 6 Years a Hostage, Captured by Islamist Militants in the Desert. And he joins us now on News Talk. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Nice to have you.
Now, so,
thanks for having me.
Thanks. Lovely to have you. So you were in Timbuktu where you were first kidnapped. What had you been doing there?
Sean, yeah. I mean, I was a tourist, hey. I was living in the UK for a number of years. And in 2011, my wife and I were heading back to South Africa. So I decided to ride a motorcycle back home. I thought this would be an amazing adventure, you know, one of my adventures which I had always dreamed about. And I thought my wife could fly back. And fortunately, I managed to get that one signed off. And my wife allowed me some time. So I was really just riding my bike through Africa. And I ended up in Timbuktu as one of my stop-off points on the way through.
Yeah, and this was in a hostel. And the couple of other people they grabbed, did you know them? Or did they just come in and look for white people, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, it was barely a hostel, I must tell you. It cost about €2 a night. So it really was a real flea bag place. But we were kidnapped with a few other guys, and I met these guys en route on the bike, basically in Mauritania and in Morocco. But so we basically just traveled together. You know, we had similar interests, so we decided to travel together. But actually, Al Qaeda, I mean, they didn't know us, we didn't know them. We may have seen them earlier on in the day of the actual kidnapping. But I mean, there's a lot of sort of, you know, discussion between us three who were kidnapped. Did we see them? Didn't we see them? We may have seen them outside of a small dirty restaurant. But I mean, ultimately, they took us out. I didn't recognize, and they took us out into the desert. And that was the start of the next 6 years.
Did they identify themselves as Al-Qaeda? What was the level of communication, at least at the start?
Yeah. No, they did, hey. It took them, I mean, when they initially came in with their guns, with their Kalashnikovs, obviously, I mean, they didn't say anything. There was a bit of urgency, if you like, for them to try and get us out of our hostel, out into the street where there was a Land Cruiser, picked up waiting for us. But once they had us cuffed and once they had us where they wanted us, they then had the flexibility, a bit of time to actually tell us, well, ask us, do you know Al-Qaeda? And then really celebrate by saying they were Al-Qaeda and letting off a whole bundle of gunshots into the air.
Right. And so at the start, were the three of you kept together?
Yeah, you know, 6 years is a long time, hey? I mean, it's an entire evolution of oneself. And it was an evolution of Al-Qaeda, to be honest, as well, because they, you know, before we were kidnapped, they actually hadn't really been involved in a full-blown war. So were we kept together? I mean, early days we were kept together. And then with time, we then got split up. But we were together for the first 2 years, I would think.
Right. And how often did you have to move location?
So that was one of my huge concerns. You know, driving into the desert, I was really unsure what exactly is Al-Qaeda. What kind of structures do they have? What kind of facilities do they have? How organized are they? And I was really wondering, did they have a base? Would they have been a permanent base that we would be stuck behind bars or put underground? But it turns out, no. It turns out they really, you know, being terrorists and being the guerrilla type, they just want to keep moving. So we did change camps frequently. Again, an evolution. It did change as dynamics changed. But early days, we changed camps, which is a very loose word for a word camp. It was just literally plonking down in a spot on the sand in the Sahara. We changed camps about every 2 months, every two weeks. But as time went by, you know, the French and the UN got involved in a full-blown war in Mali. And then we went further afield and we disappeared further into the desert. And then Al-Qaeda got a bit more relaxed. And then the camp changes became a little bit, you know, less frequent. Maybe once a month we changed camps. I think they also got bored, you know, changing camps so frequently.
Yes.
It was a big job to change camps.
Was it difficult to keep track of time?
Sean, I think as humans, we're quite an interesting, you know, creation, I think, because right from day one, I everything was out of control. Absolutely everything. I mean, for starters, who are these guys until they said we're Al-Qaeda? And you know, where the hell are you taking me? And what do you want with me? You know, just so many questions. And obviously the full 6 years was just questions with no answers. So to keep track of time, it seemed to, I don't know if it's inherent in sort of animals, you know, in us. I don't know if we just tend towards trying to gather information. But right from day one, amidst the chaos, I just realized, you know, the two things that I knew for certain was that I was kidnapped from Timbuktu, okay, which was basically central, which was east-west central of Mali on the southern side of the Sahara. And I was kidnapped on Friday, the 25th of November, 2011 at 3:15, and it was not a leap year. Sorry. Right. So that's what I knew. And everything from there onwards was literally dot to dot. And so that's why right from the first moment, it just seemed so important for me to try and understand direction and also to try and keep track of day. And, yeah, you know, go back to a prisoner movie. I mean, it's the same kind of vibe where you make stripes in a tree or you, you know, etch things on rocks. It's back to basics.
And part of, it's because the boredom would be an absolute killer, I imagine, in this situation. You did learn to speak Arabic. How did you do that? And were your captors particularly willing to help you?
Sean, I mean, as far as you say about boredom, I mean, certainly I actually tried to count sand at one stage. I took a handful of sand and I then realized it would take me a lifetime. So I gave up. But I mean, the days were incredibly long. And, you know, I used to work in banking in London, actually, at the time. So life was always pretty, you know, pretty fast paced. I mean, not for banking. I mean, you know, generally life in a big city is fast paced, isn't it? So I think really to try and unwind and to try and make sense of exactly what is 12 hours in a day was grueling. Those early days, man, I tell you, 1 hour felt like a week. It was hard work. But obviously with time, I mean, you know, you start to adapt and adjust to an environment and you learn to start to appreciate, actually. I started to appreciate that, in fact, you know, 5 minutes is in fact quite a long period of time where you can get quite a bit done. Whereas back in the old days, 5 minutes was not enough to sort out anything. You know, you just push on beyond, you know, put it off till tomorrow because I need at least 2 hours for that. But I started early days. You know, communication is important, eh? Communication is important, especially if you're trying to understand your situation. You know, are they going to kill me? Aren't they going to kill me? And then, you know, it was to be able to get along with people. I mean, as humans, it's, you know, we tend towards wanting to get along with people, you know. And I also realized that if I was going to survive, I needed to get along with these guys. So it took me a while to learn Arabic, and I mean, I learned it very basically, and Al Qaeda would understand me, and I could probably have this conversation with them in Arabic. Maybe any other Arab in any other part of the world wouldn't understand a word I was saying, but Al Qaeda would understand me. And it took me, you know, we started off drawing pictures in the sand, pointing, you know, grunts and a bit of broken French and nobody really spoke English there. So it was mostly broken French, pointing. And slowly with time, you build up things. I mean, I'm not an academic. So for me to sit down and try and study stuff is, you know, it's painful. It hurts as much as being kidnapped, probably. Yes.
In that time as well, Stephen, you also converted to Islam. Now, did that require study? Did they have to get an imam around to do an official conversion? Or how does that work even?
It's actually very basic. To be honest, it's actually very basic. I mean, what you do is you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulallah, which means there's no God except for Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger. And with that, I was then taken down into a dry riverbed next to a well. I was given 5 liters of water. I basically took a shower, if you like, almost like a baptism, I suppose. And after that, I got given a Muslim name. And after that, I was given a big hug. And I was then sort of welcomed into the Muslim Brotherhood after that. So, you know, but obviously in the Sahara, we were always very, very far from anywhere. I mean, well, as far as us prisoners went, we had no idea where we were. There may have been a town within 5 kilometers, or a village, let's rather call, not a town, a village. But we were, in our minds, we were always in the middle of nowhere. And as far as bringing in an imam, you know, no, they didn't do that. As far as having a mosque, no, there were no mosques. We'd literally stick a pole in the ground. It's called a sutra, and that there would then become a mosque. And you would then pray towards Mecca, towards the Kaaba. So it was very informal, but within Islam, it is all allowed. Yeah. It's a as in Islam, they say it's a very simple religion. You know, there's no need to make it complicated.
Stephen, it's extraordinary. I'm afraid we've run out of time, but thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Stephen McGowan there. The name of his book is 6 Years a Hostage, Captured by Islamist Militants in the Deserts. That's our lot for today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.